Hello everyone, happy new year and welcome back to the Heat and Hop here in North Stockport, South Manchester for December's edition 2019 of the Northern Premier League show. And joining me round the table, we've got the great and good of non-league football, especially when it comes to eyes and ears for the Northern Premier League. James Hayes is here, otherwise known as T-Got.
Evening.
Gibbo is here, everyone, from Atherton Coles.
Evening.
Burke is here from 26-0, everyone.
Hiya, Ben.
Hey. And Simo's here from the non-league world that is Cheshire. Also coming up on this month's show, as well as talking about the league and that kind of thing, we are going to be talking about the FA Trophy. Sorry, Gibbo. And we're going to be... Oh, is that too soon?
Too soon, sorry.
He's got this on Wednesday. He's still got a hangover, everyone. Are you all right?
I was down minibuses time yesterday.
More on FC United and Matlock Town shortly, as we're going to be hearing from Steve Kitchick and Neil Reynolds. But before that, let's go straight to the top end of the Northern Premier League. South Shields... 3 points clear, Berkey, with three games in hand.
It's back on.
It's back on, isn't it? They've ridden the wave. They're well on the way, aren't they?
No, they're not. I mean, my 10-point prediction's looking terrible. They lost against Whitby, didn't they? But, all right, they beat Scarborough, but they were very lucky to be and got them with a bit of an iffy last-minute penalty, shall we say. You know, they drew against Warrington, but that's fine. Draw against Warrington's fine, anyone's booking it, but... They've still conceded a few goals, but I think they've lost that aura that they had, the aura of invincibility that they carried with them last season, even though they didn't win the league, but you know what I mean. And that they've carried on into this term as well. I don't know, the beatable Hyde have beaten, Lancaster beat them, Witton Albion, of course. They've beaten them too, and Whitby now. They've made an interesting signing, mind you, haven't they? They've brought in Sefton Gonzalez, big Seth, who I think is essentially a replacement for Ben Harmison, who went over to Morpeth. Both similar styles of player in so much that they're, you know, 6 foot infinite, pretty much. But it gives them a chance to switch things up when plan A isn't working. As I don't think it'd be fair to say it hasn't been working necessarily, but they've been labouring to wins of late rather than steamrolling teams. And I think he gives them that plan B, maybe even a plan C as well, because I think he's a better player than Harmison.
Isn't the problem, because even though it might look like on the surface they've had a bit of a wobble recently... They have got the fifth best form in the league. The problem is that the likes of Basford and FC have come into it a bit more.
It's been the month of people not taking advantage, really, hasn't it? With the exception of FC, who we'll come on to, because they are very much on the climb. But the kind of regulars that we've talked about in the past few months, being in the playoff places, like Lancaster, have had a little bit of a shaky time of it. Basford as well, although they got back to winning ways at the weekend. And then... draw specialist Warrington have slipped away a little bit. Radcliffe had that unbelievable run, but have had a difficult couple of weeks or so. And South Shields have just kind of like quietly got on with it, which is why they've then now got a 3-point gap, which they'd be looking to extend when they play their games in hand, which is kind of ominous for everybody else. And it'll be interesting to see who's going to get a kind of second win, perhaps, just to stay on their coattails.
When we heard from Lee Picton a few weeks ago, he had the air of, you know, we're just getting on with it. And that's what they need to do, really, James, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've had more fixtures. They've had cup runs, trophy runs. Gatwick Cups are still going strong as well at the moment. So, similar to last season, they started coming around Christmas where they started having that little bit of a stumbling block. Just like they were a bit more comfortable last year with it, whereas now they've got a lot of clubs we're not expecting up there. So again, Lancaster matching them result for result, even when South Shields were having a bad day. Basically, United, again, they're not exactly on the best of form at this moment. Until a couple of weeks ago, Radcliffe as well, let's be honest, were on the coattails. But yeah, South Shields, we've seen it time after time. South Shields know how to recover from this. They make the signings. I think this is the first time since they've been in the NPL they've made a lot of wholesale changes in the team as well, aren't they? Harmison going, one lads just gone to Workington, another two gone to Dunstan.
I think it's the manager going, right, well, I've had long enough to assess what's going on with the team now, and I know exactly what I need to kick on for the second half of the season, because halfway through, the top of the table, and you can't get any better than that.
No, of course.
I mean, Gibbo, you've seen recently Warrington and Lancaster in close quarters.
Yes.
Firstly, Lancaster. Obviously, we've had the Mark Fell situation where he's taken a step back. He's easing his way back in now. He's easing his way back in at the right time. But Graham Lancaster's done a cracking job while he's been away.
Well, yeah, because I think the concern would have been Mark Fell taking a step back. Are Lancaster going to slip down the table? How long is he going to be out for? Thankfully, he's back and they're still second in the league. They did lose at Coles, but Lancaster still played well. And then we talk about Warrington as well. I think Warrington are on quite a big run. They're drawing quite a lot at the minute. They drew against Coles, but they could have easily been maybe 3 or 4 nil up against us at one point. They just weren't taking the chances up front. Is it Jordan Buckley? They've just signed in. Yeah. He played very, very well for them the other day.
Got man of the match, didn't he, in the paper?
But again, a few yards out at the post, it just wasn't quite going in for him. I think if Warrington can sort that out up front, I can see them getting into the top five again then.
I think the main thing with Lancaster is they've not, the fact is that they've had over Christmas, they've only played, I think, one or two of the top half teams, well, them in top eight, where everyone else, it's like Warrington, Whitton, FC, Radcliffe, everyone's played everyone else around the top end. So
no disrespect to Atherton Coles, yeah. But they lost to Atherton Coles and they lost to Bamber Bridge. And
yeah. Games that they should be winning if you want to be up there.
Or at least getting something out of. Yeah. But then have they put those to bed with that 4-0 win over Marpeth on Saturday? Which is, we know Marpeth are brilliant on the travels.
With 10 men. Most of the game, Lancashire 10 men. Yeah.
4-1.
What, 4-1?
Yeah, 4-1.
I'll sort the website out. It said 4-0 earlier.
Uh-oh. Oh. Anyway, I'm sure you're right, Berkey, as always. You saw FC United recently in a historic game, actually. It was FC United's largest league win in 9 seasons away from home. So what do you think? I mean, they are pretty... FC United are here for a good time this season. They're having a good time.
We're calling you out on it now, aren't we?
Yeah, pretty much. Because I tell you what, Ben, I've been watching...
just to say, dear listener, I've been waiting for this riposte since Saturday. You wait, I've got something lined up for you, Ben. So here we go. Right, go on, Berkey.
I've got to tee it up first.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I've been watching non-league week in, week out for the past 10 years. I know... You and Teagot and Simo have been watching it a lot longer and Gibbo's not far behind. And I can hand on heart say that performance that FC United put in on Saturday, it was the best performance I've ever seen in non-league by any team. It was brilliant, genuinely.
Well, thank you for listening to the MPL show this month. Have a lovely January.
You didn't expect that, did you? Genuinely.
Didn't expect that. But it is good to watch at the minute. It is really attractive football that they're playing.
Luke Griffiths, he's like a souped-up version of Callum Byrne. I said about Callum Byrne years ago that he could make space in a black hole. And
physics jokes, that everyone.
Yeah, thank
physics
you very jokes. Much. But Luke Griffiths, exactly the same. You've got Michael Potts running the engine there. And then all that Tundy gets all the headlines and all that. He weren't even anywhere near the best player on Saturday, despite scoring 2 goals.
He got man
of
the match, but he wasn't, was he?
No, not at all. Not even in the slightest. There were 3 or 4 players better than him. Finn Sinclair-Smith as well. I thought he was outstanding. Only his second start. Come from the North West Counties League, where he's been playing for Longridge Town. What a great find he is. And I poo-pooed FC United at the start of the season. Said, oh, look, all these players, they're a bit... You know, the step forward all-stars. They're going to do okay this season. They won't get to the playoffs. Well, I'll tell you what.
Oh, I hope.
They're going to win this league.
Is this it? Is this the bit? Is this the bit you're talking about?
This isn't a secret. We floated that this week.
And I'll tell you what, Ben. They've got to win this league. Because everybody around this table and everybody listening knows that FC are proven bottlers in the playoffs.
It's true, everyone, and I'm looking forward to that Radcliffe semi-final. Anyway, who are we up to next? Baseford. Baseford, we talked about South Shields having a little bit of an up-and-down spell. Baseford's been a bit stop-start at times.
They've been inconsistent, although they did get a victory at the weekend against Matlock, which they really needed. Just to maintain their position in the playoffs, they'll be hoping it's just a blip, and we'll have to see now whether that starts them on another little run. They're still very much in the mix. I still actually expect them to finish in a playoffs position, but they'll be mighty relieved to have got that victory, and they'll be hoping it just kind of kickstarts them again. They're in that little group of teams I mentioned before that have maybe not made the most of should maybe be closer to South Shields.
Yeah, they're showing that they're good enough.
Yeah, I think they are.
But they should be better, I think. with the players that they've got, the talent that they've got on the pitch there. The goals have dried up, and only
which
Corey
is extraordinary
Grantham,
yeah, given all the firepower.
Only Corey Grantham scored from up front in the last month. All the rest of the goals, and they've been few and far between. They've come from midfield or Stefan Galinski. You know, it's just really, really strange to see.
Would you not say that Basford are ahead of schedule, though, based on what happened last year and where they are now?
No, I think
they set the stall out with the signings that they made on and off the pitch, by the way. You know, putting big faith in the manager with a long-term contract, the way in which they added to what was an already really strong squad. They're here to get promoted. Simple.
There's a three-point gap now between Basford and Warrington in sixth. In the middle of those two is Stalybridge Celtic. Might as well come to you, James, for Stalybridge. They're still there.
Yeah, indeed.
We're coming up to the middle of January.
They're still there, and the fact is that they are getting the results. I mean, obviously, big win for him over Christmas against Hyde, and I think that was...
Is this the beat Hyde shot?
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of points against Scarborough. Obviously, it's still one or two opportunities there where they've missed. So again, Ashley United over Christmas as well. Missed opportunity there, just put them to cement themselves in the playoffs, you could say.
But then again, Greg Hartley was outstanding in goals for Ashton.
I mean, obviously, we'll come to Ashton when it comes to it anyway. We've got the expert next to me for this moment anyway. But
I think he means your relationship with Michael Clegg.
I've not spoken to him for at least 3 hours.
One of the main catalysts for him this year has been Alex Bajek, who obviously his loan's ended, and it's bit of a similar situation across all three divisions at this moment in time, where we're going to start seeing that loan switch where players are going back to the parent clubs. It's happened to a few clubs or a few teams already in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, FC United, I mean, they've got that situation coming up with Cam Belford as well, who is loan with Nuneaton runs out at the end of the month.
So it all depends at the same time there on if they can get replacements in, because Fodjek's been fantastic.
He's been brilliant.
So, yeah, he has been.
Surely it's in his parent club's interest for him to just be carrying on playing in a successful team, a young goalkeeper.
Yeah, but he may be going a bit higher.
But at the same time, though, you're looking at what he's been doing up front as well, Darius Olsey. I think he's kept them in a lot of games this season. Yeah. Stalybridge deserve where to be purely for him and what's around him at this moment in time.
Given the top four, and obviously there is an argument for Mark Fell, but given the season Stalybridge Celtic had last season...
And the six seasons before that.
If they finish fifth or thereabouts, Simon Howell's got to be in the hat for manager of the season, hasn't he?
It breaks my heart to say it, but I think the playoff material... They're getting better as the season's progressing. They've got Osei up front, who's lightning as we know. Then again, Ustabashi on the wing. He's got a good few tricks in his locker. Scott Bacow, we know all about him. Absolutely fantastic up front.
They're also under no pressure at all.
Yeah, but they've picked some more points away from home.
Yeah, it is odd. But I just think, and they maybe can use that to their advantage. I mean, it always makes me smile when Simon Howe is interviewed by you this season, because he's... taking a note out of the FC United playbook and kind of saying, oh, you know, we're just overachieving and we're just... But I think he can get away with that at the moment because of where they were last season. If they're still where they are, coming in towards the middle to the end of March, maybe that'll change. But it makes them dangerous that they're not under the pressure of expectation that some of the other teams are that we're going to talk about.
Gibbo, Warrington, you touched upon it briefly, but they are outside the playoffs at the moment. The three draws they've had recently, plus the defeat, it's kind of hampered them a bit, hasn't it? They've not won in six games now, have they?
Mm. Yeah, it's stunted them, and it's whether they will get in the playoffs, because you look at the table and a lot. We played Radcliffe as well recently.
We've got them again on Saturday.
And
so, big game, that, isn't
it? And I just think Radcliffe have a bit more about them to get into the playoffs than Warrington at the moment.
Oh, well...
I think they do. From what I've seen, I think
Happy
Radcliffe...
Happy New Year, James. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to you on this show, isn't it?
Radcliffe take the chances. They might not get many chances, but Radcliffe know how to take them.
Well.
Hang on a minute. Can we have a little bit of decorum in the room? Because I'm not...
I just praise Radcliffe. You'll never hear that again.
Yeah. Look who they've played this month. They played against South Shields. They drew against Witten. They drew against Basford. They're three decent draws.
You're talking about Radcliffe now, Warrington.
Warrington.
Three decent draws, those. The ones against Carls and Bamber Bridge, you'd be well expecting them to beat those teams.
A resurgent Bamber Bridge as well.
Exactly. But the result at Morpeth, 4-0 away. I know Morpeth are unbeaten at home.
Did you see the pitch that day, though? Be interesting to see... how Paul Carn addresses that. Like I said, one way in doing that is bringing in Buckley, and we'll see what he can do. Sounds like he had a good debut on the weekend, so maybe he can give them what they've been missing. But I think it's a little test for him. I think he's easily a good enough manager to come through it, by the way. But it will be interesting to see where they... I mean, look, they're not adrift, they're still in it, despite the problems that they're having. But it will be interesting to see what happens with them.
Give up.
They need to improve.
It's already been an historic show this month. And the seven seasons, I can never remember such an out-of-the-blue compliment being paid to a fellow guest. Radcliffe. Are you surprised with how Radcliffe have done, given, you know, you're both Step 4 clubs who've come up recently? They've been superb this season, haven't they, Radcliffe?
They've been okay. I saw them earlier
you're
this season.
You're backtracking now, notice.
I saw them lose at Runcorn Town in the FA Cup earlier in the season. I thought, what's going on here? All the hard work that they put in last season. I know it's testosterone-fuelled at Radcliffe at times.
beautifully.
Only a bit.
Beautifully. But I thought that was maybe beginning to take over, but it seems to have settled down a little bit more recently. I would have expected Radcliffe to finish above Coles this season. If you look at the resources the club has to them, maybe they are a little bit higher than I thought they would be earlier in the season, but they've been doing really well recently.
Well, you're outside the playoffs now. The wheels have come off big time, James.
Oh, you're getting your own back now. After 2 months of smugness.
Again, target's 19 for my eyes, but again, the loss.
No, give all. I know we say this every time, but it's not 19th, is it? I mean,
it is now, obviously, but...
What can you achieve?
Again, considering the form we've been doing, the only defeats again we've had against the top sides have been South Shields and Lancaster and FC.
Never mind the top sides. This is where the worry is.
This is where I'm going to.
You lost 2-0 against Stafford. You got absolutely wellied the other day.
Against Bamber. We lost to Grantham as well earlier in the season.
Exactly. And is there something in the psyche where they just show up to the games against the lower ranked sides, our teams battling away in the relegation part of the table, and go, oh, it's all right, we'll win, we'll just show up and we'll win?
Yes, I think we're still used to the fact of being down the bottom end of the table every season and losing to them sides anyway.
The Cinderella tale has to end at some point, you know. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Obviously, big one for us this one was lost Tyree Sinclair, and we're completely rock bottom of the fair play table by a mile.
Well, there's a surprise. So,
and well done, Berkey, for the use of the word wellied. I've not heard that in a long time. That's beautiful. Should we draw a line there, or should we carry on going table?
After seeing
Berkey's pacing was horrific.
After seeing the Dappers recently, I think they have got to be in the conversation for.
Nantwich Town are currently 3 points outside the playoffs. They've got 3 games in hand over Stalybridge Celtic and a game in hand over pretty much everyone else. It has been a bit of a kind of, because of the cup competitions and all that, it's been a bit...
Yeah, and they've had injuries as well, which has
But they're
helped.
There, aren't they? Like you say, they're in the conversation,
they're there,
aren't they?
Yeah. I've seen them on New Year's Day, and they've been really impressive in both games against Witten. They're a really good side to watch.
Are they the ones to watch? Because I'm looking for that playoff list there, and you're going, no one's talking about Nantwich too much. Which I suppose Dave Cook would want.
They still, still haven't got that consistency, though, have they? They've clearly got a good performance in them, but they're not yet. You know, they've lost seven games, not yet strung it together. That would be my concern. They've definitely got the individual quality, definitely got match winners. Like I say, really good team to watch. It's enjoyable to watch them. So they're in the mix, but they do need just to be a little bit more consistent to make that leap into the top five, but they're good enough.
Unlike your good self, Berkey, I'm not going to move the goalposts on your side. Hyde United, you're well ahead of where you thought you would be at the stage of the season.
They can be so incredibly good 1 week that they're 4-0 up at half-time against Basford, and then a couple of weeks later, they get just torn apart.
Were they wellied? Did you get wellied?
They did get wellied, yeah. But the thing is, I don't necessarily think that was due to Hyde being bad. I think that was just down to FC United being
I have to say about Dave McGurk, he was pretty magnanimous in his words after. I mean, it was just one of those games, wasn't it? So you just, and everyone's, all the fans are the same. They've just kind of gone, well, that's that, draw a line under it and move on to the next game.
Yeah, exactly. And it's how Hyde respond to it.
Yeah.
And it just wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if we beat Whitby 4-0 on Saturday, because that's the kind of form that Hyde have been in this season. They show up 1 week, look like world beaters, and then the next week they just look like they can't string two passes together.
We're going to finish up part one by talking about the two teams who we've not talked about yet in the top 11. Firstly, Mickleover Sports. I think we can all agree it's been an incredible season thus far.
Topsy-turvy.
This is it, though. Topsy-turvy, 4 points from the playoffs.
They'll be made up. I mean, when John McGrath comes on, he says, we want to get to 40 points. Well, I mean, I can't remember what we predicted at the start of the season.
Well, they're at 33 now. Are they going to do it? Are they going to do it?
They're going to... the answer is yeah. And if people were going to tip them to go down because of how close they were last season, now that means someone else is going to be taking that position, because I don't think, even with the remarkable slide down the table, that Michelover are going to be in relegation trouble now, which represents a massive step forward from last season. They all seem to come through what was a little bit of a sticky patch, because they lost 5 from 6 or 6 from 7 and then have won the past three. So they're having a lovely old time.
Yeah, aren't they? Are Witten having a lovely old time?
Well, they were. And they've really hit a bump in the road, like a big bump in the road. Turn of the year's not been kind to them. They've had a pretty wretched fortnight. Only picked up 1 point from the past 15, which is why they've fallen down the table. And last time we was in this room, they were due to play Grantham the next weekend and were sixth in the table and 1 point behind who was in fifth, which I think was Stalybridge at the time. So that shows you what a poor couple of weeks that they've had. I've been at most of those games. I mean, the odd goal here and there, we've been in a very different mood around the place. I don't think there's anything to be too concerned about. The fixture list in January is not massively kind, though, so they do need to be a little bit careful that the slide doesn't continue for much longer. And I think they don't become a bad team overnight. We were talking about them getting into the top five less than 5 weeks ago, so it's a dip in form. It's come at a bad time because they were pushing for the playoffs, but they'll be fine. They'll sort it out.
Anyway, that's the end of part one. Then I think really good stuff at the top end of the table. All still to play for with 4 months left in the season.
I think it's wide open, isn't it?
Yeah.
In playoffs and the league.
Well, that's the end of part one. Coming up shortly, we're going to be talking about the bottom end of the table. But before that, let's talk about the FA Trophy. FC United travelling to Barrow on Saturday, as it transpires. And on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at FC United, Neil Reynolds.
Well, happy new year to you, Neil, and welcome back to the show. And a big game on Saturday. Before we get to that game, congratulations for that Kettering win. It's just wins at the moment for FC.
Yeah, hi Ben, happy new year. Thanks for that. It is good at the minute. In a real rich vein of form, it was really pleasing to beat Kettering in the previous round. And I did, after being interviewed after the game, I was asked who I wanted in the next round, and I said I wanted the biggest club left in the competition, and there is no one bigger than Barrow. So for myself, as a manager, it's going to be my biggest game of my management career to date in terms of opposition and gulf between the two sides. It's a game we can't wait for. And like you said, we're going into it in good spirits. We're playing good football. We're 15 games unbeaten. Everything's good, and the lads are really enjoying the football. So we're enjoying the ride. We know how quickly football can change, so we're not getting carried away. And for us, we deserve a crack at one of the best teams, and the best team that currently sits in non-league football is Barrow. So we're going to go up there with nothing to fear and respect who they are and what they're about, but try and give a really good account of ourselves.
I mean, how do you keep this momentum going? Because like you say, you want to put yourself up against the best team in non-league football at the moment. Momentum's a powerful thing heading into this game.
Don't get bored of the same messages. Don't get bored of the same things that work for you. Training's always high intensity. Training's always done with a purpose, and depending on the opposition we're going to play, we always religiously work on our shape, work on our set pieces. We talk about the same things within the dressing room and outside the dressing room, but I've got a great squad, a squad that was built in the summer that really trusts each other, and it's got all different types of quality and characteristics. So in terms of the momentum, the lads have got this inner belief at the minute that they're ready for every game. And will they win every game of the season? Absolutely not. Could it end this weekend? It might do, but we're not planning for it to do. But we've just got to keep saying to the lads that, this is amazing. It happens. I talk about dressing rooms and camaraderie once, twice in your career if you're lucky. We've come across a really good dressing room that's got a belief now, a hunger, a desire, one, to play for the badge in FC United, but two, to achieve success and, kind of replicate the pictures in the tunnel and all the good times that FC have had and the trophies have had under Carl Margeson. And this group of players have heard it, they've seen it, and they want to be part of it. So, I'm just letting them go and letting them enjoy the moment.
And it's a question I ask a lot of managers at this stage of the season, but Where are you tracking versus your own expectations for what FC United could have achieved? Because I've made it no secret, I am an FC fan, obviously, and I'd say we're ahead of target at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you put together a new squad, and I did say we're building a squad for 2, 3, 4 years, you know, you expect it to take time to gel. No one expected to lose the first three games of the season, which we did. And probably no one expected the club to go on the record that we're on now, 15 unbeaten, etc. But we have. My target was top 10, 1.5 points per game. But you were asking me now, and you know, even when I was at Bamber Bridge, I targeted silverware, and I've targeted silverware this season. We're 4 points behind South Shields. We're ahead of where we are, but why not track them down, chase them down? You know, we're chasing Lancaster, we're chasing South Shields. Obviously, a playoff spot would be unbelievable. League champions, unthinkable, but you know, we're in a rich vein of form, and like I said, we'll keep our feet on the ground, but we're where we are for a reason. The lads have done well, they deserve the credit. And, you know, 4 points away, we're not 14 points away, we're not 20 points away. So, target the top spot, and that's what we're doing. And if we get there, great. And if we don't, well, our target was the top 10 and 1.5 points per game. And if we achieve that, then, you know, I'm sure everyone will be happy. But to be, you know, turning the year in four competitions, the Manchester Cup, the League Cup, the trophy, and sitting pretty in the league, we've got to be targeting silverware this season. And, you know, everyone would expect me in that dressing room to say that. And, you know, that's what we're about now.
Neil Reynolds there, manager of FC United FC, travelling to Barrow on Saturday behind an M6 blockade or something. Seriously though, do check traffic updates on Saturday before setting off. We've got Steve Kittrick coming on shortly as well, because Matlock Town have got a big game in the FA Trophy this weekend too. Barrow, Gibbo.
Yes.
You're very, very unlucky. Mm. Some would say beyond unlucky.
Dropped.
Well, those are Berkey's words.
The first game we played against them, they did make a few changes. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, we nearly beat Barrow's first team, because we didn't. But those players who did play against us should beat us comfortably. And we were that far away from winning. We had Tom Bentham sent off for a second yellow for celebrating. And after that point, you think, we'll settle for a draw here, because we were just on the back foot. Went up to Barrow last night. And we played well, but again, they're just a bit too good for us in the end. But there's no shame in that at all. I'd have taken 2-0.
It's going to take a hell of a performance for FC to beat Barrow, given how they're performing this season, especially at Barrow.
I would assume as well they'll be putting a few lads who didn't play against us last night into the team on Saturday. You know, Rooney might feature, because Rooney didn't feature in either of the games against us. But out of all the players to score against Coles last night, it was Lewis Hardcastle, who brothers of Ben, you know, from Atherton. I thought it was always going to happen, wasn't it? But he is a class player. If he's playing on Saturday, it'd be a good matchup in midfield against FC.
With FC, remember, I mean, the 15 games unbeaten, they've won the last 8 on the spin, and in those 15 games, they've scored at least 2 goals. So Barrow will be doing well. I know that FC are a couple of divisions below Barrow, but the way that FC played on Saturday, if they can replicate that this week, they'll really give Barrett a real test.
I can see Tunde having a bit of joy though on that pitch. It's big pitch.
Yeah.
Pace, it's going to cause Barrow issues on Saturday.
Well, it's not far off 10 years since FC beat Barrow in the FA Cup for qualifying round.
Ah.
Yeah, it was September 2010.
It will be, won't it, coach?
There we go. I just need Carlos Roca. So, as I was saying, later we'll be discussing Eastleigh against Matlock Town, as we'll be joined by Steve Kittrick. But let's go back to the league now. 12th position in the league table, and just sitting there going, ooh, give us a couple more games and you watch us then. Scarborough Athletic. Well, might as well come to you. I mean, Darren Kelly's done what we thought Darren Kelly would do at Scarborough, hasn't it?
Yeah,
it's been a couple of bumps, but generally it's going the way he would like, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I'd say so. Very unlucky to lose against South Shields the other day. But things have turned around. All right, there was the anomaly, shall we say, against Buxton where they lost 5-0. But other than that, I think things have been going pretty swimmingly for him. Been scoring plenty of goals, keeping him out at the other end for the most part too. And yeah, Daz has worked his magic so far, and I think it'll continue towards the end of the season. I think they've probably left it a bit too late to make the playoffs, but
here's a question for everyone else. Have they left it too late for the playoffs?
They're
6 points from the playoffs. They played 25 games, admittedly.
That's the thing, they've played more games than anyone other than Hyde.
What about Whitby Town? And I might as well throw Morpeth in this mix as well. Both of them have got loads of games in hand. The complete opposite of Scarborough, really. 9 points from the player positions. Gibbo, the cliche we always say, and I've got Aaron Flanagan here now going on. Nothing changes. Points on the board, games in hand, that kind of thing. I mean, it's tricky for Whitby and Morpeth.
How is it tricky?
Well, they've got the games in hand there.
Yeah, but would you not... For me, I would rather have games in hand. If they get a bit of something going...
They're getting close.
You're like one in a million. You're the only person who's ever said that.
No, because...
I'm texting Aaron Flanagan now. At the Daily Mirror, no less. Go on.
I'm seeing him to...
Let him know.
Friday, I'm seeing him.
Tell him.
Tell him.
I go back to when Coles were in the North West Counties with the likes of 1874 North, which Bootle, all of those teams... And I would rather have been fourth or fifth with games in hand than top. If you're constantly thinking, if we're going to win here, we're going above them. If you're constantly trying to hang on to a position, it's difficult. So I would rather have games in hand than have, you know what I mean?
Thing is, though, they're getting very close to Thursday night games at the moment with the games, and they're still in the integral. I mean, the result they had last night, they needed, I think, the 5-2 win against Murmask in the second round.
But are both of them still in the League Cup?
That's incredibly problematic considering the distances involved as
exactly.
well.
Exactly, and Gibbo, when Coles, I can't remember who it was, but you had something like 7 games in 11 days, and you got to the last one and went, oh, I can't be bothered. You got to the ground and turned around.
We'd left each other 12 hours beforehand. We'd been to Ashton Town on a Friday night, we turned up at Darwin on the Saturday, and we were sick of seeing each other. Like, we thought... I thought I was going to get a game, you know, just throw anybody on, get this over and done with. But the Northern Premier League's a bit, you know, the standard pitches and stuff are better. You don't have a backlog like that. We might get a bit of silly season at the end of the season, but I love that because I can get to loads of games.
But, I mean, Whitby and Morpeth are all on 28 points. I mean, Morpeth have got, 8 games in hand over Bamber Bridge, who are also on 28 points. Mm-hmm. That's the scale of it at the moment. Bamber Bridge, though, are in 15th. We spoke about the impact Darren Kelly's had. Jamie Milligan has gone in there, and it's the recruitment as well.
He's a very well-connected player, you know. Yeah. Well, I say player's manager
but
now,
but
of course.
But he's played there as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. And when he was a player, he had a very good eye. He could pick a pass from anywhere. He was absolutely fantastic. And as a manager, early indications are that he's carrying that forward, bringing Richie Allen. I think that's been a masterstroke. I mean, he was at Longridge Town in the counties last season, banging about 50 goals. They're looking like they're going to somehow haul themselves clear of the melee below them. I mean, obviously, you've got the problem of them only having 17 games left and the teams below them all having 20, 21, 22, something like that. So that does go against them, but...
You'd rather have points on the board. Unless you give up.
You'd rather have the points on the board as well.
But it kind of changes the lower you get down. It kind of changes the lower you get down the table. You would rather have the points on the board. Because, as Roy Sewell once said, form is form.
Form is form. The biggest change, and this is ominous to everybody else, is we've slated Bamber Bridge for months for being lousy away from home. They've won 3 games away from home under Jamie Milligan already.
Yeah.
Including being the first team to win at Lancaster this season.
Yeah. Very dominant against Ratcliffe last weekend as well.
Let's move away from Bamber and travel the short distance to Lincolnshire for Grantham Town. But how important was that win over Stafford for Grantham?
I don't know how much we can read into it. They needed it because they've been on a lousy run of form. So the 3 points are very much welcome in that respect. And Grantham's season is going to hinge on how well they can sustain the home form, which is keeping them above water at the moment. I had a look before, and they've got the best home record in the league outside the top 8, so that's really keeping them where they are at the moment.
Then again, Simo, I mean, they did keep a clean sheet. They went away to Basford, got a very credible goalless draw there.
Yeah.
But then flipping the form on its head, they lost 5-1 at home against Gainsborough.
They are prone to a wellying at home. A few teams have gone up. Ashton 1-4 up there. Yep. Whitby 1-4 up there. Gainsborough 1-5 up there. They seem
Buxton
to have a...
beaten by 7.
Yeah.
They've made a good few signings in the last couple of players. So John Worsner, Lewis Danquart and Henry Wellinson.
They carry a goal threat. I mean, Craig Westcar's doing a good job for them. There's good players around him. But they just give up so many chances. The direction of travel for a couple of other teams we're going to come on to in a minute is positive. So
one of those positive moves is obviously Atherton Coles, Brad Cook coming in. It's worked out quite well.
It has. I mean, he was our captain for years, and when we went through the candidates, all of us agreed straight away. And it's like, it's almost like the pressure's been taken off us since we've changed. There's a real good feel about the club at the moment.
You can tell, actually.
And we're all just really relaxed, and we don't. It's a really nice feeling that we don't feel like there's pressure on us at the moment at all. And I think that's going through onto the pitch as well, where there's players who maybe weren't playing under Michael Clegg who have started to look a bit more confident. He's brought a couple of his own players in. And
I mean, the three players you've gone to, Ashton, are
very
big,
good players.
Big holes to fill in.
Massive players for us. There's Ben Hardcastle, over 260 appearances for us. Greg Hartley, the goalkeeper. Now, Michael Brewster wasn't with us long. He'd been at Droylsden, but a very good player who Michael Clegg had been after for quite a while. And they will do really well at Ashton. A loss for us, especially Ben and Greg in net. But we've replaced them, and we've been doing really well the last few weeks.
Gary Haywood's done a great job at Buxton, hasn't he?
What a recovery.
He's done a remarkable job. Seen him at the weekend. They were mighty, mighty impressive. Some of the players that a couple of players he's brought with him from Hensford are the real deal, and he's added them to players that we already know are good, but is getting a tune out of them. Hardy was at his potent best.
He's got that Neil Reynolds about him when he does interviews, where he just instantly fills you. And Darren Kelly's got the same.
He's hugely impressive.
He's got a bit of a self-determination about him that you can hear in his interviews.
But also, and we did mention this when we did the show last month about his teams play really good football as well. Hensford were a really good team to watch last season when he got hold of them. And already in a short space of time, Buxton really, not so much when the running rings around the team you're reporting on, but really good side to watch as well. His remit was keep us up because they're in serious danger. Let's have it right. Even though they still carried that goal threat we've talked about all season, and they will finish miles clear of the bottom three. They'll probably finish in mid-table now, but that is exactly what they want. And then keep an eye on them for next season if he's able to bring in the lads that he wants to, what he's already got.
They still lost against Hyde on New Year's Day.
Oh! now, Simo, you've done a bit of work. Extracurricular work.
I've got a quiz.
Gibbo's there. You'd give him a gold star for this, wouldn't you?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Now, Gainsborough Trinity and Ashton United, they're still not clear by any stretch of the imagination. That brings me to the work you've put in here for the new management bounce table.
Well, it was weird because
I've got the lightning scenes coming on in the background.
With the
match of the day,
Curtis at Trinity had come in a little bit earlier. They nearly all started work on the same day.
Yeah.
Although it was bizarre how it's fallen. Brad was a few days later than the others because that's the only thing he was getting married. Otherwise, the other would all have started work on the same day. Who do you think's top of the managerial bounce league table?
I would have thought it'd be Daz, or the Buxton dude.
Buxton.
Congratulations, Gary Haywood. We'll go to Timpson's, we'll get you a nice little trophy.
Yeah. So right. That shows Daz would have been up there, but obviously
he's been on holiday.
Are we far behind?
It's a bit unfair in Coles because he played less games than the others because you had trophy commitments.
Gibbo wants games in hand. So
Brigg, Scarborough and Gainsborough have all got 10 points from the spells under their new manager, which is impressive, but Gainsborough played a little bit more games. The one that maybe you'd worry about is Ashton because he ain't won a game yet.
Is that just the nature of the gig?
But look who they've played.
Yeah.
But at the same time, now I'm going to back Cleggy up here.
Yeah,
you can't, definitely. If you're struggling, you can't suddenly go in. I think there's more deep rooted problems with the amount of players who are tied down at Ashton United.
I was going to say, isn't that just the nature of the gig that Ashton United is at the moment?
Which we did talk about last month about.
It's a tough.
He's not got the wriggle room that somebody other managers have come in and torn teams up. He can't do that. And it was a double whammy because they've played Baysford away, FC at home, Stalybridge away and South Shields at home. So they've played to the best teams in the league in his first few games in charge. So it doesn't surprise me that in this little mini thing that I've drawn up that they're at the bottom of it at the moment.
7 points at the moment to Atherton Coles and to Buxton. I mean, Stafford Rangers, it's a long way now, isn't it? I mean, there is still a long way to go. Not much to panic about, but we think because of the resurgence of a couple of teams,
it's just really mixed it up.
Yeah. But that's enough about the league. We'll be doing a fixture preview in part three, but let's go back to the FA Trophy. On Saturday, Eastleigh will be hosting our very own Matlock Town, and on Thursday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Causeway Lane. Here's Steve Kittrick.
Well, Steve, a big thank you for joining us, and a happy new year to you. Big, big game on Saturday. How's preparations gone this week heading into this one?
Yeah, well, happy new year to yourself and your listeners. We trained on Tuesday. I went to watch Eastleigh at Hartlepool on Tuesday as well, just have a look at what they're all about, and everybody at the club looking forward to it.
It's higher opposition again, but obviously this season you've been there and you've done that already. So what experience do you think you're going to be able to take from that match against Charlie early in the rounds? I mean, is that helpful, do you think?
Well, I think it's helpful. They understand the level of football and what the football's all about, because it is different football altogether. So I'm expecting us to take the endeavour and know-how from the Charlie game into the game against Eastleigh.
And let's go back to that last round then. And, you know, it was to get a replay against Charlie was one thing, and then to take it all the way to 120 minutes and you know, win it on a penalty shootout and that kind of thing. I mean, it is proving to be quite a memorable season when it comes to the FA Trophy for
yeah, I mean you couldn't write it. I mean, you know, we gets in front, they scored from a penalty, the last kick of the game, and he missed the penalty. It made him take it again because he said our lads had approached into the 18-yard box. Then we got down to penalties. We won the penalties. The referee consulted his linesman through his earphones saying, well, there's another penalty in there. No, there's not. Matlock's won. No, they haven't. So we had like a bit of a delay for like a couple of minutes to win and throw in. Everybody in the ground, management, both teams knew that we'd won it, but the referee had lost the plot. I didn't know. So it was absolutely really bizarre.
Well, exactly. I mean, you take for granted when you watch the penalty shootout on telly, you've got the graphics there and all, but it gets confusing after a while, doesn't it?
Well, it gets confusing. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And he's looking, and to be fair, he did apologise after. He said, I'd lost my way a little bit.
Yeah, well, all's well that ends well, Steve, when it comes to
that
game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it would have been a very, very eventful night. And, you know, and to be fair, you know, their gaffer come up and I know him, and he just said you've been better team on night, so over the two games. So, you know, we've got to take that in. It's not a given at weekend. They're a good side, they're full time, they're organised, they're structured, they know what it's all about. So we've got to work hard and you know, hopefully we can get something out of it.
And preparations wise, obviously it's a long way to travel. And one of the questions I know the lads around the table were asking: are you going to be going down a night earlier? So I think you are, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the club's been very professional in what they're doing. We're leaving 4 o'clock on Friday. We've got an hotel booked. We've got pre-match. We've got everything as you would, you know, going forward, as if you were a full-time club. And they've done that, so you know, fair play to them. They're giving us every tool to go and win the game.
How important is that? Because I've been on longer ways, and you turn up, and I could barely speak after, let alone play a game of football. It is vitally important, especially in these big encounters, to do that level of preparation.
I think, I think, you know, if you're doing it week in, week out, it just becomes part of your job. What? Lads that never done it before, and I've got lads that never experienced this. It's into jolly up. It's a night before a game, preparing right, because we don't want to travel in a day. So as long as everybody's professional with it, I'm sure there will be, and then we get the right response together. And I think, you know, as long as the club, as long as the lads that understand the clubs, you know, it's cost the club a lot of money, they've got every faith in them to, so they give us all the tools to hopefully put a good result, a good performance in.
And how important is the FA Trophy to, because obviously this is your first season at Matlock, I mean, how important is the FA Trophy just to set that benchmark and to create a memory in a lot of fans' minds, and then that can be kicked on into the new year and beyond?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the idea. I mean, you know, financially, it's always good because there's a financial incentive, but I think, you know, realistically, non-league, this is the only opportunity non-league clubs get to go to Wembley. So everybody buys into it, everybody gets excited about it, and you know, and everybody's done that at Matlock, and fans, players, committee members, board members, everybody's behind us, what we want to do. And it is quite an exciting time, and it's taken a, you know, what my biggest thing is, if we can get something out of the weekend, then take that cup form into the league at the moment and just have a bit of luck with it.
Steve Kitchick there, manager of Matlock Town. Let's get your predictions then, gentlemen. Eastleigh against Matlock. East Ham doing too well in the conference?
No, they're not, but they're two divisions higher and they're doing well enough against Matlock Town, who are doing... If we're being objective about it, well, they're not doing great, are they?
How many times have we been here that way?
And you've seen off Chorley. Away.
Yeah, exactly. And it, with that, though, it was a relatively short trip. I mean, Eastleigh's heck of a long way, isn't it? On, yeah. You know, down near Southampton. And the pressure's all on Eastleigh, though.
Yeah.
And they should do it. They really should do it.
What about FC's chances against Barrow?
Well, Barrow won 7-0 at the weekend, didn't he, in the conference? So, on paper, yeah, it's impossible.
League as well.
Exactly. Well, top of it, they're officially the best non-league team in the country. But that said, FC, if they can perform anywhere near how they performed at Ewan Fields on Saturday, they're in with a real shout, and they will score. They will definitely score at least one goal, I'm convinced of it. They'll give it a right good go. And their confidence couldn't be any higher at the minute.
Well, a big good luck to Matlock and FC United. And we will, of course, be talking to both managers again in the third round. Now, let's talk about the matches this weekend in the league. First things first, quickly go through this because we run out of time.
Outstanding match of the day, isn't there?
Well, Warrington v Radcliffe, I think everyone is... No. Okay. Ashton v Stafford?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Well, let's start with Ashton v Stafford then.
It's a must-win game.
For both teams?
Absolutely. Well, for Ashton. I think Stafford, in the back of their minds, they're probably already resigned to the not-quite-inevitable. This is where it's kind of do-or-die for Ashton United. They've got to get it started, and you're not going to get a better opportunity to get the wheels in motion than against the bottom team in the league. They've got to win it.
What happens if Stafford do win that, though? For Stafford.
A proper dogfight.
They need a bit of a goal swing to get off the bottom of the table.
Now, Gainsborough are currently sitting third, and as we were discussing earlier...
Third bottom, rather.
As we were discussing earlier, there will be a lot more talk as the months progress now about this third best relegated team, if there's such a thing, in that step three. Gainsborough Trinity, currently 3 points inside the relegation places. They'll be hosting Witton Albion on Saturday, Simo.
Well, they'll probably be licking the litters, only, as you said before, and out of sorts, Witton, at the moment. It feels like Gainsborough have been playing better than their position in the table suggests.
A win, by the way, and the gap's 9 points to win.
All right, calm down.
just doing a Jim White impression. So.
The 5 unbeaten Gainsborough, so that it's incremental progress, probably not at the speed that their performances have warranted. It is a big game for Witten as well, in terms of they need just to stop this little rot. So they'd be well happy if they got a draw. But yeah, Gainsborough can claw in one or two above them if they pick up a win.
One of those teams who'll be looking at that match is Atherton Coles. Gibbo, you're hosting Stalybridge Celtic.
Yes.
In a bit of a Greater Manchester derby.
Okay, a tough one that. We beat Stalybridge away earlier in the season, but they've improved so much since then. But again, Stalybridge won't be fancying coming to us at the minute. I know we're down there, but form-wise,
are you worried about the bounce back from Tuesday night?
We're tired. We are tired at the minute. Like, you can see it in the players. We weren't expecting to win. It's not like we're deflated. We're just dead happy that we went there. In the last six games, we're sixth in the form table at the minute. Stalybridge, they're ninth. So we are above them in the form
you've
table.
We've got back-to-back as well, because we've got me in the second one Tuesday night. Yeah. So.
Buxton taking on Morpeth.
I think Buxton will win it.
Yeah, I do as well.
Morpeth don't... Am I imagining this? Do Morpeth not travel well? Or is that just a myth I've got in my head?
They don't travel well at all. The pitch
They don't suit. Play at all, mostly. They've only played 17 games.
There is that, but one advantage that Morpeth will have there is that the pitch suits them. It's nice and flat. And despite the rutted, bumpy pitch they've got there up at Morpeth, they do try and play football, but they do alter the style away from home when the surface suits them. And there is an argument for saying that Morpeth will go there and do very well, but Buxton, resurgent, as has been mentioned, I think they've got enough in the locker there to turn them over.
I like the fact I've gone from bottom up.
Makes a change.
Yeah, Bamber Bridge travelling to Basford United. That is a huge banana skin for Basford, isn't it? And there is an opportunity here for Basford with FC United not in action. They need to take it, don't they?
They do need to take it, and as well as Bamber Bridge have done with picking up those three away wins in a row, it's still one of the hardest away games on the calendar for anyone who plays in this division to go away to Basford. So I still make Basford slight favourites, but you're right, I think it'll be close.
I don't know, Bamber Bridge, they're on the up too. I don't know, could go either way, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think this game could go either way, couldn't it? Hyde United hosting Whitby Town.
Yeah, it'll be a tough game, that, for both sides. I fancy a draw, actually.
Draw. It's got one of the form players in the league at the moment in Paul Blackett, who they've borrowed from Gateshead, and he's scored in every game, I think, so far, and he really looks the part.
Here's an intriguing game as well. Scarborough Athletic against Nantwich Town.
Nantwich have to get something out of that one if they've got any chance of staying in the playoffs. If they don't, Scarborough are being welcomed into the playoff race, I think.
I don't know. It's got draw written all over it for me, this.
So is every Scarborough home game.
Well, yeah, they have drawn seven times at home this season, haven't they? So, yeah, oh, is it eight now? I don't know.
But 1-1.
I've got a funny feeling about Scarborough, you know, in the second half of the season.
I think it's unfair
to
say that.
They've played too many games. Yeah. We've gone through this.
You know what? I've got a funny feeling about Mickleover as well, in a strange way. Mickleover travelling to South Shields on Saturday.
Did they get some of there last year? Seems to remember them playing really well there last year.
They get points at places you just don't expect them to. That's
be
fair.
Yeah.
One team watching on will be Lancaster City. They've obviously played a lot more than South Shields have, but they'll be travelling to Grantham. Home form is obviously something to consider for Mark Fell and Graham Lancashire to head to Lincolnshire.
Well, they're in and out, aren't they, Grantham? If a decent Grantham side show up, then Lancaster could be in for a right old beating. But
quiet, because again, he's got his scoring boots back.
Yeah, well, he's having a great season.
They scored hat-trick on Saturday, didn't they, against
Morpeth? He's back scoring. I think he's come back from injury, hat-trick within two games.
And saving the best till last.
Big matches.
Yeah. Warrington v Radcliffe, 6-7.
It's got 1-1 written all over
it. Five red cards.
Surprisingly, that's one of the results last time.
This is going to be a feisty game, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, both teams.
Testosterone fueled.
Good.
I think it's going to be a close one, but again, both teams kind of need a result. Radcliffe just to get rid of the fact that it's been heavily Tyree Sinclair, Warrington to stay in the race at this moment in time. I can see a draw over it. Radcliffe tend to have a better record at Warrington Town as well from the last 10 years too. So close to say, but
a couple of ex-players going back.
Yeah, exactly as well. But it's going to be down. I think discipline's going to control that game. Whoever can keep the most players on the pitch.
Anyway, it's almost like Swampy's still here. We need to go. This recording has gone way over time, so we need to go. But a big good luck to everyone in NPL action this weekend, and a big good luck to Matlock and FC United in the FA Trophy. Simo, thank you for joining us. Where are you off to this weekend?
I don't know yet. Sorry, that was a really boring answer, but I genuinely don't know. I don't think I'm going to Gainsborough. I like Gainsborough's ground, though.
No foul.
Yeah, it's a great ground. Yeah, it's a good away day, so I'm not ruling it out.
Well, I'll be getting the bus when I go there.
What bus will you be getting?
Actually,
I'm not sure which bus it is. Well, you have to go from Doncaster.
Yeah.
You get the X98 from Sheffield. I'll be getting the train to Sheffield first, X98, and then whatever it is from Doncaster. So I think 68 or something like that.
Whatever the time of the show and how long it's gone over, that is still going to make the edit, Berkey. I love your bus stories. I love it.
At least let me get the Berkey, bus right.
Berkey, where are you off to this weekend?
I'm going to Ewenfield to Hyde versus Whitbit.
Gibber, where are you off to this weekend?
I'm off to Luton versus Birmingham.
Ground hopping.
Yes.
Good. Where are you off to this weekend?
I'm at MPL Towers.
Where is MPL Towers?
Anyway, Ben, are you off to anywhere special next week?
I'm off to Barrow.
Better set off.
Yeah, I'm going to set off now. Right, well, that's the end of the MPL show. Big thank you to James Hayes. Big thank you to Gibbo. Big thank you to Berkey. Big thank you to Simo. And a big thank you to the Heating Hops. And we'll be back next week with the more refined weekly show.
Oh, hang on. I'm just going to tell you what bus it is.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Gainsborough. Hang on.
It's all right. The show's finished now anyway.
Oh,
people are literally just waiting for you to give them this vital piece of public service information.
He likes it to be accurate.
Yeah,
because you know
that's why I've kept the show open.
There's one person out there.
Yeah,
I was close.
You'll find that guy.
Like I thought it was a 60.
That guy.
Like I thought it was a 68 from Donny to Gainsborough.
Yep.
It's the 98. Oh. So I had the right shape.
It's not a proper 98 anyway.
Brain
Yeah, fair point.
How long would that take?
Let's have a look.
Oh yeah, just asking more questions about the buses. Hey, we'll keep the show going.
Listen,
fine. Well, we're on every 2 hours, so it's tricky getting there, isn't it? It's an hour and 20 minutes.
An hour and 20 minutes?
An hour and 20 minutes. So I need to get to Doncaster by 12.05, which should be doable from Sheffield, shouldn't it?
Well, that's the. Are you finished? That's the end of the show. Thank you for joining us, and you all have a lovely weekend. Bye-bye.